Morgen ist Zukunft. Ein Podcast des Argon Verlags.
Ich suche seit Stunden nach Fußspuren von morgen. Hätt sie auch gefunden, hätt mich niemand verscheucht. Mein Blick zeigt nach unten, doch ich stolper erneut. Man kommt um die Runden, aber nur wenn man läuft.
The stories that are flooding around about you in Berlin are like magically positive.
And that is wonderful.
A lot, like everybody's like, oh my god, do you know coconut?
Yes, I do. That's so cool to hear.
Yeah, no, very strong.
That's really cool.
This
Me
is the
too.
Sauna, you were not
yeah,
kidding.
Yeah, this is the sauna.
Okay, this is a space sauna. This is like a little bubble that is, it's like a tiny house with
yeah.
a sauna.
I don't have the key for it.
That's fine. It's, I mean, there's no camera on this podcast anyway.
Voll schön.
Herzlich willkommen bei Morgen ist Zukunft. In diesem Podcast besucht Bianca Pretorius Projekte und Organisationen, die sich für eine gerechtere, nachhaltigere, umweltfreundlichere und überhaupt viel bessere Welt einsetzen. Denn morgen ist Zukunft und die wird schön.
Oh cool, es ist offen. Die Vertrauenswürdigkeit, die auf dem Land herrscht.
Aufstehen, Kaffee trinken, auf die U-Bahn warten, am Schreibtisch sitzen, auf die U-Bahn warten, Bier trinken, schlafen gehen, wieder aufstehen, Kaffee trinken, auf die U-Bahn warten und so weiter. Und dabei permanent diese Deadline vor Augen. Aber arbeiten muss doch auch in schön gehen, oder? Das dachten sich auch die Leute von Coconut und haben einen Coworking Space erschaffen. In einem alten Herrenhaus im brandenburgischen Bad Belzig, knapp 40 Kilometer nördlich von Wittenberg, kann man arbeiten, übernachten, essen, trinken, Gemeinschaft und Stille genießen. Und es sich auch sonst rundum gut gehen lassen. Seit einem reichlichen Jahr gibt es diesen wunderschönen Ort, umgeben von Feld, Wald und Wiesen. Kommt zu uns, ihr digitalen Nomaden, ruft er gen Berlin. Aber auch den alteingesessenen Bad Belzigern streckt er die Hand entgegen. Ich spreche mit Juliane Becker, einer der Mitgründerinnen von Coconut. Und wie es sich für digitale Nomaden gehört, führen wir unser Gespräch natürlich auf Englisch. Freut euch auf Stadtflucht, kreativen Austausch und erfahrt, what is coconut?
Coconut? That's interesting. What is coconut? Hannes, what's coconut? I'm just kidding. Well, it stands for community and concentrated work in nature.
And I did not know that. What?
Yeah.
Community, concentrated
work.
Work and nature.
Yeah.
Did you make this up afterwards? It's not about coconuts?
No. It was always that.
I didn't know that. But that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and it's fun, so that's why we went with the name.
Yes, it is yeah. fun.
And people remember it. So, yeah. And they make fun of it and whatever, because it looks like coconut misspelled, and people say coconut, and I don't know. Whatever. And, yeah, the idea came out of people from the city having a need to get out of the city. And then it kind of evolved a lot in the years to also include digital nomads and people kind of seeking that people who are living like a location independent lifestyle who kind of seek community. So that's also a part of it. Another part of it is also like, being a place for the people who live around here. So we also aren't an alien in this village. Like we are a part of the community and we make the place available for the community. So if there's freelancers living in the region, they can work here and they do.
Do they?
Yes. So not all the time, not as regularly as we hoped, mm-hmm. but we are doing more to get them here. And then also the space is available for local initiatives, so the like the Dorfverein. They meet here.
What is a Dorfverein?
They plan...
Doors? Like Türen?
No, Dorf.
Dorfverein, natürlich.
The village.
Dorfverein.
The village, yeah. Group.
And they come here. Auch hierher, so they come here.
Yes.
Interesting.
They come here for their meetings.
Yeah.
And...
what do they think of this space? Like, yeah, is it...
I mean, we're in a good position because this region, there's already been a lot of, like, influx of non-Brandenburg people mm-hmm. who didn't grow up in this region.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not the first people, which is helpful for us. And we are maybe somewhere in the middle of the first arrivals. So we're somewhere like a little bit less, I don't know, esoteric, let's say, than some of the other people who had first arrived maybe 25 years ago. And then, and with a lot of more of the community, like that's it's in the German version of community, which is a bit more, has a different context.
Can you tell me about your perception about the difference about the German version of community, like the Dorfverein kind of community, and then what the new... international digital nomaden community is like?
Well, and I even meant a different one. I meant more like the
hippie vereine.
Yeah, let's say.
Die spirituellen ESO-Gruppen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
which
yeah.
there's a lot of in this region.
Interesting.
So
we're
somehow in the middle of the group. So we're a bit more neutral, let's say. And then the greater community. I mean, I think they think it's... people are excited about it, that there's international people here.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of them can't speak with the other people because they either speak Russian, as they like to say.
Russian?
Or German.
Ah, interesting.
Because they grew up in the GDR.
Of course.
And there was a lot of, Russian influence in the area. So there was like a military school and different things in this area, just in this, like really within 10 kilometers of here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, lots of people say that
I know Russian, but I cannot speak
English. Anyway.
Yeah.
No, it's cool. We want to do more. We have a lot of plans for the future with the local community and developing. We're hoping to develop in the direction of digital literacy for people in the region.
Oh, that's a digital. Okay. So to basically... digital literacy in terms of helping them getting online and understanding the ideas, what the internet can give them?
Yeah, well, working with local businesses to take advantage of the tools that are available.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and also eventually we want to do more with mixing of the people who come here with the people who are here.
Mm-hmm.
That say the workshops are available for a certain amount of local people for free.
Mm-hmm.
Then on the other hand, also with young people, we would like to be two things. One would be access to these workshops and our different programming that we plan to develop in the future, but also just as an example of what can happen in the countryside so that the young people, when they go away to university, don't feel like there's no modern future for them here where they grew up, and to start to increase the value of the place, not just like money wise but just thinking wise in order to have a good relationship with the local people, like we have to be and we're very conscious of how we speak, that it's not that we know best, but it's that we mm-hmm. would like to work together to mm-hmm. see how things could be, and just to be an example of something that doesn't exist here now.
Fantastic.
So we are a new project here. And just so that people can see what's possible. There's different ways possible here than what people have learned in the past. We want more interaction, but people need time, for sure. So it's like all step by step. Mm-hmm. This summer we're hosting the yearly village party. We will not be inviting everybody to it, so I won't say the date, because it's... it is for the local people, and they want it that way, and we're respecting their wishes.
Yeah.
So they said, yes, we would love to have it there, but we don't want it to be full of Berliners, you know? And we said, okay, like, we want to host it, and this is, like, these are, like, these small steps that we're slow. It's very slow. mm-hmm. in some ways. So, I mean, we always knew that it would take time. So we're not pushing anything on people, and we're trying to have it kind of evolve in a natural way, mm-hmm. this relationship and the trust.
Bis das Coconut-Team seine Heimat in Bad Belzig gefunden hat, ist es ein langer Weg gewesen. Der Coworking-Space sollte zuerst an einem anderen Ort sein. Der musste aber leider nach einer Saison und etlichen Wochen Arbeit wieder verlassen werden. Doch jetzt ist alles perfekt. Man kann hier, mitten in der Natur, absolute Stille finden, kann den Ort mit Bahn und Auto gut erreichen und es gibt High-Speed-Internet. Julianne zeigt mir Haus und Hof und wir gehen von einem wunderschönen Raum zum nächsten und erkunden auch die direkte Umgebung des Hauses.
Oh, this is beautiful. Fireplace. Oh, hallo.
Hi.
Entschuldigung. Okay, ist ganz gut. Wir stehen in so einem Sofa, Teppich. Fireplace, this is a dream.
Yeah. And we'll build big bookshelves on the whole wall.
Yeah.
You know, the ladder.
Yeah.
The books will go in the bookshelf. Nice. We try to have a fire every night. Well, we didn't manage last night, but we might tonight. Yeah. So that's, well, so you also were in the pub. That's where we started. So the pub mm-hmm. and the library are like these more public spaces where everyone can use them. So we're something, we say like we're workation and co-living. So mm-hmm. if you're here for a little bit longer, it definitely feels, it's...
Like
more
home.
Like home.
Ah, how long do people stay here? So when you, we said digital nomads, diese ganzen Menschen, die im Prinzip coden somewhere and they build, the people who come here, are they all programmers and can work by default digitally? Or is it people that want to write a book and then come here? Or?
It's really, we have so many different people. It's amazing. Like yeah. we don't have any one group. Sometimes it's programmers, sometimes it's... Yeah, like you say, writers. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of people working on their books here, mm-hmm. which is really nice also. But we've also had scientists here, people working on grants.
What does it working on grants mean?
Like writing a grant proposal.
Ah, yeah, weil das braucht auch lang.
Or graphic designers. But then we also have forest managers. Like we have these two men who are managing forests in the region, and they also come here, and they also are very happy to do their work in the day, and they come back, and it's different than a normal, it's not a hotel. So we always eat together, that's one thing, we always eat together, we have lunch and dinner together. So you sit together, you talk about your day, and
I didn't know
great.
That.
Yeah, that's so actually you're going to be here, probably if you're still here, yeah, you will be. At one we have lunch.
Yes.
So at one we have lunch and at seven we have dinner, and that's like this chance for people. It doesn't always work. We don't force it, but that's a chance for people to sit together, have conversations, meet each other, especially if people are here for a little bit longer.
I know why I was a fangirl beforehand, but it just gets bigger every time I'm here.
This is one of the smaller...
Hallo, hallo.
Sorry.
Das Imaginarium, das ist auch ein schönes Wort. So it's basically a meeting room that...
It's a meeting room or a co-working space, depending on the day. Mm-hmm. This is like our small... And then we have some smaller spaces.
I love the colors you chose. Like the whole style of it is really sweet.
Yeah, we had a group of architects who worked with us in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And one of them did our whole color design, which is very interesting. So this room, it's still like we're not 100% finished. And this,
Julianne, this is so nice.
You can see it's a fun. So this room has a lot of leftovers from the previous people, like the furniture, the ceiling.
The ceiling is actually from them? I love the ceiling. It's a statement.
The ceiling is 50-50. So like 50% of people hate it and 50% love it. Like there were some other things that was a bit more... Extreme.
In the context of the rest, this is so offbeat
yeah.
that I really think it's
yeah,
nice.
That's why we left it.
Wir stehen vor einer Decke, wo so in Stuck, also silberne Alu-Future-Folie runterhängt. Sieht aus wie im Raumschiff. It's nice.
Yeah.
And this is a stage, like for little theater shows?
No, it's actually...
it's just a curtain?
There's storage behind there.
Ah, it's storage. And this, you built this, right?
Yeah, we built this for... A fair, and then we brought it back
okay.
inside.
Ein Holzpodest zum Sitzen.
Nice. Yeah, this is... When is it summer? When can I come back?
Well, you can stay. We have a sauna now.
You are kidding.
No, we do.
Oh, no
way. Yeah, I can show you outside if you need.
Ich wär einer von uns. In welche Richtung seid ihr hin? Einer Wirtschaft und eine macht Kunst. Ich flüchte grad vor deiner Vernunft. In welche Richtung seid ihr hin? Seid ihr schon da? Ist es dort schlimm?
So the building was built in 1822. Mm-hmm. And there was a noble family here that had been here for a while, I think they were here before that, but they were granted permission to build the building in 1822. Mm-hmm. And they lived here till 1945. And then...
It didn't get hurt in the war?
No, it looks like not. No. And then after that, it was occupied by the Russian army. Then in the GDR times, it was lived in. So there was families here, there was the school, there was the...
In this building?
In this building, oh, yeah. And the local Konsum, shop.
Yes, yes.
Then after reunification, I'm not sure, the only thing I'm not clear on is if people were still living here or not, but after reunification, the ownership went to Bad Belzig, the town, mm-hmm. and they... gave a long-term lease to this...
wedding thing?
No, to a nonprofit that focused on work training for handicrafts. And so they used this place and did all of the renovations and made it beautiful. And then they had a hotel and they tried to run it, but they didn't actually decided not to run it anymore. Then... And then it went through different renters. The last people were an event hotel, and after that, it didn't work out. Then they said, "Nah, we don't want to run it anymore." And Bad Belzig decided to sell it. And then we found out about it. We put it
in
a concept.
Buy it?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
This is fantastic.
Took some time. I mean, we it's a bank loan.
Of course, but I mean, this is a diamond.
Yeah, it is. I can show you in here.
And it's a good feeling to invest love and time in something that you own.
Yeah, I mean, the test place, there was owners, and we already had a taste of what it would be like to deal with owners all the time, and also explaining all the time what the concept was to people who didn't understand quite what we were talking about, didn't make sense to them.
And then they feel entitled to question it.
A lot.
This
Me
is the
too.
Sauna. You were not
yeah,
kidding.
Yeah, this is the sauna.
Okay, this is a space sauna. This is like a little bubble that is... It's like a tiny house with
a
sauna.
I don't have the key for it, though.
It's fine. There's no camera on this podcast anyway.
No.
Book me at reception. Buche mich jetzt. Voll schön. Oh mein Gott, ich muss ganz bald zurückkommen.
And then back here we have the... The old park with all the trees, our campfire place, and the water. And you can swim. Actually, people are swimming now in the winter. There's two guys here. They were already in this morning. They broke through the ice. It's their thing, not mine. In the back, we have also, we're finally, it will happen, a permaculture vegetable project.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
So... The gardening hasn't begun yet because of the weather, but we have a mix of people who live in the region and Berliners who are working together on the concept. And yeah, we will have vegetables here.
In your own words, because I was just talking to Hannes earlier about this, how would you describe the connection of our generation craving the whole, we're going to sustainably grow our own vegetables and going to go into the forest, like...
I think it's good to do it and to see how it works and to know where the food comes from. And I mean, there's no way we'll ever grow enough to sustain the project in our garden. Like, it's not possible.
Maybe there's vertical farming coming up soon.
Well,
and then and then we talk again.
Yeah, I mean, what we want to do is just to be a place where you see all the possibilities.
And we have to see how it is. And then we know, I mean, I know that people are much like that. Yeah, like walking in nature calms you. It makes you, mm-hmm. it gives you different input. I generally think like that there's a balance needed between city life and country life. I also need to go to the city. I love to go to the city also
to get the energy of so many people and projects.
Yeah.
But then I come here and then I go in the trees and in the nature and just have totally different input, and it comes into everything. So when we started to really think about the project, that's why we also have a much more social business mind on it, that we build this sustainable business, like a strong foundation that allows us to also do further projects. So this is what we're doing. So the first, like the sustainable business part, is the people coming from other places to here, staying with us, being mindful of productivity and nature and talking with other people, having your work time and your off time very clear. These are like things that we work on here with that part of the business. And then on the other hand, we also want to have a really positive impact in this region. So both things are in our minds always.
That's fantastic. How do you help people to get the work and the off time clear? So when I would come here, I'm like, I need to write my book. I'm going to lock myself under a tree and I'm going to write. The mindfulness. Yeah.
We make sure that people have everything that they need to do that. And if they need some people really need very specific things. I mean, we also have, you can work in your room, in a lot of the rooms, not every
can or can't.
You can. Mm-hmm. And then we have the quiet workspaces, and we try to make sure that they have all the things that they can need to feel comfortable with their work environment. And then that's where the eating comes in. So we don't have a big program, but we have certain things available that make it easy. And one thing we do have is the eating. So you eat at 1 o'clock and you eat at 7 o'clock. You don't have to, but that's when we eat. Mm-hmm. So actually we haven't had it yet that anyone's been like, oh, I don't eat at that time or something. People come. And they have to take a break, and it's me too. I also have to take a break. It's perfect. Like I'm taking care of myself. We serve vegetarian food. We try to keep it very balanced and healthy, and tasty. It's all homemade. And then we eat it together and we take a break and then go back to work. And then we come back together at dinner time. And at dinner time, it's also where we can make plans. Oh, some people go to the sauna. Some people break through the ice and go swimming. We also arrange yoga classes. We have a lot of local yoga instructors. So if yoga comes up, then we're like, oh, let's see if we can organize something. We can have a class in the morning. And then people also make plans, go for walks. It always depends on the people here, too. We've had a great guy, Kieran, who was here for 3 months, and he led these like meditation walks. So he would take people into nature and do this whole meditation process. It was really nice. And these things kind of happen here. It's really cool.
Interesting. Yeah. So they become like an instant, not instant, but they become like a family for a time.
Yeah.
For one community. And then it must be hard when you leave. It's like you're leaving more than just a summer camp.
But they come back.
They come back.
So we've already had a lot of people come back, and we've been open less than a year, and I'm so happy about it. I mean, really, people that come back have come back multiple times.
Yeah, the stories that are flooding around about you in Berlin are like magically positive.
And that is wonderful.
A lot. So like everybody's like, oh my God, do you know coconut?
Yes, I do. That's so cool to hear.
Yeah. Oh, very strong.
That's really cool.
How is the team organized? How many people are you? Is it like a holocratic organized team with agile methods? Or
we have, let's say, a holacracy inspired management way, mm-hmm. but we also, like, our management team is very small. So we actually just talked about it last week. Tomorrow we're having a big strategy planning meeting. We were talking about our management styles. We had talked about holacracy a lot in the beginning, And then we just didn't, we opened and then we had just operations kind of took over for a while. And then now we're getting back to it. And then we were like, actually, we're such a small team. We actually kind of are naturally working in more of a holacracy method or sociocratic method anyway. We also, but then, you know, and we tried to make it that, yeah, I think that we do work in that way. We have 7 people who work in our kitchen, and they work mostly part-time in our kitchen. All people who live in the region, they bring in their own recipes and ideas, and we have one person that coordinates all of that. That's really cool. So the food is always changing, but that people also are making their own decisions. We don't make anyone cook anything they don't want to.
Interesting.
But it's cool. And, it, and we have really different things because of it. So that's also really nice. That we...
So it's, it seems to be a, an autonomy embracing network of like-minded people with the same...
Yeah, we have like... what we did was we created like a solid foundation of our vision, and then people can plug into that vision how they see themselves, and they can make decisions on their own about that, those things. I mean, we obviously, we steer it and we talk and we meet a lot and keep an eye on the budget. I mean, we're not going crazy or anything. Mm-hmm. And then on the other hand, we also started to open up for work exchanges. So people can really stay here for free or well, they exchange. So it includes sleeping and food every day, and then we exchange for 20 hours a week working with us.
That's super fair.
Yeah, so we use the Workaway platform, and we're signed up for another one. And we also just, we actually, we've taken in other people like this anyway, and it's actually been amazing. So these are, I would still say, that's also inviting digital nomads. So it's people who are already kind of traveling, and they want to see the world in a different way, and they get to know our project and the work within inside the project, doing different things. They also do their own projects.
So if I would like, if I would be hearing this podcast, I'm like, oh my god, this is what I was craving all my life. How do I get involved? What do they? What do I do? Being,
I mean, we're right now expanding the sort of working with us thing. So I'm. In two ways. Well, we're on the Erasmus for Young Entrepreneurs. So if anybody...
The what?
This European Union project, yeah. Erasmus for Young Entrepreneurs.
Ah, for Young Entrepreneurs. Okay. I knew Erasmus, but I didn't know.
Yeah. So that is if you... You can't be based in Germany. You have to be based in another European country, mm-hmm. or European Union country. And then if you have a business plan, you can sign up for this... project, and you can come, I think, up to 6 months, mm-hmm. and you get a stipend from the European Union.
What's a stipend?
Money. Ah. It's not big, it's not a huge amount of money, but yeah. You get money for rent and living costs in the placement country, and you choose a business that's signed up on the other side. So actually, we did it when we were developing this project, and we stayed mm-hmm. with another similar idea project in France, and now we are signed up as a host company. So if you want to come and stay here and you want to learn from us, like things that we're doing, and work on a certain project, then you can apply, and it's pretty easy actually, mm-hmm. the process. But you do need a business plan, and you okay. do need residency. You don't have to be a citizen, but you need residency in another European country.
Okay. And so that would be if I'm already somebody with a digital idea yeah. that I need space to work on.
But that's on one hand, and on the other hand, we've already hosted now 2 people, like Hannes is one, and there was another woman here just till last week, who are interested in developing similar projects or just have a bigger interest in this idea. Mm-hmm. And then I'm working on developing more programming for like a 3-month residency. So the people come here, they work with us, they do some working hours with us, work on a specific project for us, but then the rest of the time can also focus on their own thing, also like the Workaway, but with a bit more program in it, so that it's like clear that they what value they get out of it more than. So if somebody comes for 2 weeks, it's different. But if they stay for 3 months, I would like them to feel like they really gained some value and some information that helps them on their way. So we're definitely looking for people to come and stay with us.
That's great. Okay. Yeah. So we are looking for people who come stay with us 3 months, come with a specific skill set, and then get involved and get their hands dirty.
Yeah, and they can do whatever. I mean, the skill set can be anything. So people come and they build stuff, or they come and, I mean, we have one person now, she's working on designing a welcome package, and maybe it's translating, or maybe it's all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Like we talk to people about what they do, what they like to do, and then we develop a project with them. So there's no, we don't force any, like we have certain tasks that we need help with, and then we always leave a certain amount of time that anybody can, that they do something they want to do, mm-hmm, that fits with their skill set.
So that's the one part of the groups, but it is to get involved. But also as a normal person, I can also come for like a day or 3 days. What is the normal pricing of this thing? Is it that?
It changes. It's mm-hmm. Definitely, we have different pricing. Like the most expensive cost, it would be for a single room with co-working and 3 meals and coffee, tea, unlimited snacks. That's 90 euros with tax. So that's mm-hmm. the most expensive. And then if you stay a little bit longer, it costs less. If you share a room, it obviously costs less. You can cook for yourself. In the summer, we even have camping. And then for people who would really like to come and it's just totally out of their budget, that's also why we do this work exchange. So we try to find a way to not price anybody out. We want all different people here. So we have like CEOs of companies. That's crazy. They come here with their management teams. And then we also have students and everybody eats lunch together. And again, it's like about balance. So when the corporate teams come, they can pay the full price, which helps subsidize other people coming here and makes it possible for all the different groups to come. And that's always been our thinking, that we would have different price categories. You might sleep differently, but when you're on the ground, when you're working, when you're eating, everything's the same. So everything is even.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And do people still try to get married in this place?
Yeah, but we say no.
Very good. You wouldn't fit from the...
We don't want to have a wedding here.
Yeah.
No. We have been asked quite a few
times. Of course, because that's like the... Yeah, it's like the same... Yeah. It looks like a place that we want to get married in.
Yeah.
It's like real instead. Slightly hippie-ish, but also...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's perfect.
I mean, if it's a local person, if it's somebody from our village and they asked, we would say yes.
Mm.
So we've hosted, we hosted a funeral party, here for someone from our village. I mean, so, and on the other hand, we would also host their wedding because that's different. That's like, this building is important for the people here and we respect that. And if someone asked us, we would definitely want them to feel welcome to celebrate here. And we would find a way that works. We just don't want to turn into... The Berliner location for yes. weddings no. and birthday parties and stuff like that.
So you having been in this bubble when it's about digital nomadism, it's about countryside and these things, what's your vision in terms of what do you think this space will look like in 20 years? Not this space, but the movement of we need trees and I want to work.
I'm already... That's a really good question. I'm already in touch with many projects like this and also people who want to start projects. So they definitely approach us and I'm very happy to meet with people. I'm always meeting people and talking with them and trying to share as much as I can. And I'm also, I had wanted to create a network, which luckily is started by another group now. And it's called Pure House Labs and they're not...
Pure House Labs? And that's the co-working spaces in the countryside?
No, it's a non-profit group that's mm-hmm. working on the topic of co-living. So they look both at co-living in the urban context and now a little bit more outside of the urban context. So there's kind of two different versions of co-living in the world. One is a bit more short-term or destination-based and one is... more the urban co-living.
Of course, it's co-living, which is another, actually. Yeah, of course.
Which is another thing. Well, we have workation and co-living. So for my definition, workation is like one or two nights. And then co-living is more like a week or more. But the urban co-living can be up to 6 months or even 1 year.
Okay, to me, co-living was even like basically a VG for life. So co-living part of
I guess it could be more in the co-housing.
That's fascinating.
It's still trying to be, it's still all in development. Yeah. So it's kind of new, like the co-living in the urban context is like exploded. You see it's backed by huge real estate development companies and property management companies. We work as we live. I mean, there's a lot of huge players in this in the urban context. Outside of that context is more like us, more like small business, doing it a different way. And with different things guiding for sure. And Pure House Labs is a nonprofit that's working on research and development for co-living. They're working on a map, so it'll be a crowdsourced map, and I'm already kind of working as an advisor in some extent with them. They are organizing a summit in Paris this summer, so I'm working with them on some of the content and things, especially with rural development and these destination-based locations, what that means, what other positive impacts it can have. And then developing best practices, things that we can share with people who would like to start their own projects. So this is like part of like building the blocks. I think it's great. I think there's an opportunity outside of almost every big city for places like this. This could be a hotel that already exists that has a mind open for changing a little bit like how they do things, getting operating for digital workers to come, so accessing new markets. And then there's so much possibility, really. I mean, in the last place we were at, there were less people who had moved there, so the property was really, really, really inexpensive, and so many of our friends were already looking in that area, and then that stopped. But now we have friends looking in this area, so we know. And it's not just friends, it's also like people who come here and then they say, oh, if there's something like this here, I could imagine to be here. We have a mini Berlin here, so like we're really busy with our project. We have a lot of influx of people. I'm talking to different people all the time here. But most people, when they move to the countryside, actually it's quite a different experience. It's very quiet. And there's, you know what, I mean, if I want to go out on Friday night, there's nothing to do. Sometimes there's something to do. Sometimes there's something. But so I think most people have the
Sehnsucht,
for the countryside. That's our lunch bell.
It's the lunch bell.
But actually, they don't really want to live in the countryside. But they want to be here sometimes. So that's why I think it would be good if a lot of places like this developed, where it really gives people an easy opportunity to come, take a break. They could come for 2 weeks, they rent out their place in the city for 2 weeks, come here, you know, balance out the cost of living, and that would be perfect, you know.
Can I eat lunch with you guys?
Yes, yes, oh, you're, yes. Of course. You're.
Oh, schön.
Hallo.
Hi.
This meeting's really long.
Na? Jetzt habt ihr bestimmt auch Lust bekommen, mal ein paar Tage in Bad Belzig zu verbringen, oder? Kontakt, Preise und so weiter findet ihr unter coconut-space.com. Schaut außerdem unbedingt mal bei Coconut auf Facebook oder Instagram vorbei, um euch zu überzeugen, wie großartig dort alles aussieht. Ihr findet alle Links auch wie immer in den Shownotes. Und in der nächsten Episode besucht Bianca gleich zwei inspirierende Personen. Milena Glimbowski und Raphael Fellmer. Beide haben nachhaltige Supermärkte gegründet und sind Vorreiter der Zero-Waste-Bewegung. Mit ihnen spricht Bianca über Mindesthaltbarkeitsdaten, Jutebeutel und eine Anleitung zur Weltverbesserung.
Leute anstecken, dass es Freude macht, die Welt zu retten, Freude macht, sich zu verändern, alte Konditionierungsmuster loszulassen, sich zu befreien von dem, was man dachte, was man ist.
Das war Morgen ist Zukunft. Moderation Bianca Pretorius. Konzept und Redaktion Jaylan Rohrbeck und Sabine Reichelt. Produktion: Das Hörspielstudio Kreuzberg. Musik: Fußspuren von Der Dieb mit Susanna Kareninger. Wir würden uns sehr freuen, wenn ihr Morgen ist Zukunft kostenlos abonniert und in der Podcast-App eurer Wahl bewertet. Wir haben auch noch andere Podcasts. Die findet ihr unter podcast.argon-verlag.de und überall da, wo es Podcasts gibt. Besucht uns auch gern auf Facebook. Ihr findet unsere Podcasts dort unter facebook.com/argonlabpodcast und bei Instagram unter argon.lab. Bis dann.
Ich suche seit Stunden. Ich suche seit Stunden nach Fußspuren von neu. Hätt sie auch gefunden, hätt mich niemand verscheut. Mein Blick zeigt nach unten, doch ich stolper.
Ich laufe hier noch ein bisschen durch meinen Schnee. Guck mal, wie der Schnee klingt. Und wohlgemerkt, es ist Ende März. So sieht es nämlich aus.